puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
A new year and a new batch of abandoned Manitoba episodes from Gordon Goldsberg. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadia. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you as well.
To all of our listeners as well.
All right. So you're not a New Year's resolutions man.
Gordon. Not at all. Sorry.
Why not?
I just find I'm too weak. I can't carry through on them.
I'm too weak. I like it. I like the honesty, the vulnerability, Gordon. I appreciate that. What's the clue for this week's Abandoned Manitoba?
Well, of course, we are now looking back on the year we've just had, and I think we remembered as a terrible year in which many fine people died. But it was also terrible for deaths of another kind, and deaths that I suspect historians are going to look back on with sadness. So I thought today we'll talk about those deaths and, in fact, the continuing life of a few very important survivors.
Okay, so where do we start?
Well, recently I was contacted by someone from Dauphin who is interested in the first two schools there, Mackenzie School and Whitmore School. Local history books provided some of their history, but, you know, when I delved deeper, I found that they were actually originally called School Number 1 and School Number 2.
Now, how does this relate to the topic of death?
Right. I know. It doesn't sound obvious, does it? Well, my source of firsthand information about the early history of these schools came from the pages of the Dauphin Herald. It's available online going back all the way to its founding in 1904. And the Dauphin Herald preserves a wealth of fascinating historical facts that can be found nowhere else. You know, now, fortunately, the Herald is still with us, chronicling the daily life of Dauphin and the surrounding communities, but it's one of a declining number. You know, so in 2020, we lost several newspapers around Manitoba as a direct result of the pandemic. And just as many cases of COVID-19 were made worse by pre-existing medical conditions, the newspapers were already in poor shape before the pandemic. An example of that is the Carberry News Express that closed in late 2019.
How so?
Well, newspapers depend on advertising revenue and subscription fees for their operations. And both of those are being impacted by the tendency for people today to do a lot of their buying and their news reading online. You know, so for example, the decline in newspapers has resulted in the closure of the Pine Falls paper mill that made the newsprint that the papers were printed on. And we talked about the Pine Falls paper mill in this series much earlier. Well, the Carberry News Express is a victim of that as well. It was founded in 1899, and it merged in 1910 with one of its competitors, the Carberry Express. Now that this is something to think about. At one time, Carberry supported no fewer than two newspapers, two in Carberry. In 2012, it was purchased by the company that owns the Winnipeg Free Press today, as well as the Brandon Sun, and both of them are struggling. Well, and finally, in December of 2019, the News Express closed after 130 years of faithful service to the Carberry area. But I'm left wondering, where are people going to get their Carberry news today?
Yeah, it is a little heartbreaking. Do you have a sense of how many other community newspapers closed in 2020?
Exactly right. There were 12 in total. So let me just list them as sort of just a reminder for the people. We have the Reston Recorder, the Melitta New Era, the Souris Plain Dealer, Deloraine Times and Star, Altona Red River Valley Echo, the Carmen Valley Leader, the Interlake Spectator, the Morden Times, the Selkirk Journal, the Stonewall Argus and Toulon Times, the Winkler Times, and Prairie Farmer. You know, in fact, just I was thinking about all the history that represented. And so last night I did some research on their histories, and I estimate that those 12 papers represent over 1,000 years of cumulative reporting. You know, and I think just as every person deserves an obituary, so too, I think, the papers.
I think you're so right. I mean, I'm fascinated by how each of those papers came into existence and who the characters were behind it. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we don't have time to eulogize all the lost papers, but how about the oldest one?
Okay, so the oldest paper that folded in 2020 was the Deloraine Times and Star. When it was founded in 1887, that's 133 years ago, its name was a real mouthful. It was called the Deloraine Weekly Times and Turtle Mountain and Souris River Gazette.
Wow. Very comprehensive.
Yes, very. Its founder, a fellow named William Daubney, he died at the age of 35 in 1895. And what's interesting, I think, is that his widow, Florence Daubney, she carried on as the publisher and the editor for at least 5 years. And I suspect she may be the first woman in Manitoba to run a newspaper. In 1919, it was renamed the Deloraine Times and Waskada News to reflect its growing sort of coverage. And in 1960, it acquired its present name. Unfortunately, in 2020, it folded permanently.
Oh, 133 years, my goodness. So it seems that economic factors made worse by the pandemic were the cause of the closures. But your clue at the beginning alluded to future historians being sad. What's that about?
Well, as I said at the start of our conversation, newspapers preserve information that is available nowhere else. You know, the fact that I can open a Manitoba newspaper from the 1870s, you know, of course, that I collect old newspapers, I can read the day-to-day goings-on at that time. And that's something that I take for granted. But future historians who want to document the changes in our communities today will have no such sources if the newspapers are all gone. And for those who think that online news will provide that source, well, I would say think again. You know, most online content is just so ephemeral. You know, a lot of it is gone within weeks, days, even hours. You know, and so I ask, well, will there be a comprehensive archive of tweets to which historians can refer in 100 years? I'm inclined to be doubtful. And so without community newspapers, future historians are going to have a really great difficulty in finding the information they need.
You did say, though, that there are some important survivors. So what about those?
Well, of course, pretty much all newspapers are struggling these days. You know, and if they haven't closed outright, they have canceled editions, they have cut the pay or reduced the hours of journalists, or they've laid off staff. But there are a few sort of inspirational stories, and I think the story of the Minnedosa Tribune is one of them. It is believed to be the oldest continuously published weekly newspaper in Western Canada. Its first edition was published in 1883. Well, a couple of years ago, I spoke with its publisher and editor, Daryl Hollick, and he told me that he has two paid staff in addition to himself. He has a reporter who also doubles as a photographer. They work from home, and he has a graphic designer who doubles as the office receptionist. He also has members of his family that help to proofread, to pick up the printed newspapers in Killarney, to deliver them to outlying communities. But unfortunately, Daryl is finding the same problems as everyone else. Between 2004 and 2016, his circulation has decreased by 34%. You know, he says he doesn't like to read the obituaries because he often sees the names of subscribers. So when I pressed him, Daryl confessed that he does expect to see the Tribune close in his lifetime. And that was before the pandemic. You know, so what a shame if we lose a precious resource that has existed in Minnedosa for 137 years.
Do you think there's any solution to this dilemma?
Well, it's a difficult one, of course, and it's a sign of changing times. So we have here in Winnipeg, the Winnipeg Free Press. It's Manitoba's oldest surviving newspaper, and at one time it was known as the Manitoba Free Press. It had a province-wide mandate when it was founded in 1872, and in some ways it's actually becoming the province's newspapers again, as a lot of the local newspapers fold, people then turn to the Free Press for their news. And so I would call on the Free Press to be mindful of this responsibility to the province and maybe to recruit local correspondents from around the province, you know, who could weigh in on sort of significant findings in their communities on a fairly regular basis. You know, I'm a Free Press reader myself, and, you know, so I would like to read the news of Carberry and Deloraine and all those other places on a fairly regular basis.
Gordon, thank you for this. What's the clue for next week?
Well, back in November, the Winnipeg City Council approved the construction of a new police station on a site that has provided Winnipeggers with entertainment, with recreation and accommodations since the 1890s. So next week, we're going to talk about the history of that site in the North End.
Gordon, thanks for this.
And we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons.